Coming up next, the wild and crazy Haas Outdoors.
Okay, forest animals, kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
It is time for the Haas Outdoors, bringing you the news, how-to tips, where to travel, information on events, making fun of Yellowstone tourists, rambling on things don't make any sense, and just being a plain goofball. Here is your host, Charles Haas.
Good morning, Montana.
Good morning to you. Good morning to you. Get your lazy butts out of bed. Good morning to you.
Wakey, wakey.
That's it. Wakey, wakey. It is 10:30 a.m. on this wonderful morning. But for you ranchers, another wonderful day in Moo Moo Land.
Moo. Gosh, why do I laugh every time I do that?
No comment. Rita, tell me about your weekend.
My weekend consists of making bath bombs and slime with my grandchildren.
Slime?
Yeah, it's you know that slime that they have that's like it's this that globby stuff and it like stretches and it's disgusting.
They still make that?
It looks like boogers. Yes. We made it from scratch.
Oh wow.
Today. And bath bombs. And bath bombs too.
Bath bombs?
Yeah, you know, you put them in the bathtub and they fizz out and make the water like colored, and then they have like little surprises and little animals and stuff inside of the fizzy stuff that in the bathtub.
I never heard of that.
Oh well, yeah, it was pretty cool. Their mother got them kits to make their own stuff, and we did it. It was pretty fun.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. Well, for me, I hung out in the studio as usual.
Oh, this is your home away from home.
Did some packing.
Yeah, whatever. I don't want to hear about it.
Okay,
you don't drop want to hear it. About it. No, I don't want to hear about your packing.
Well, that's a good thing.
No, it ain't. For who? Maybe you. Not for everybody else. Jeez.
What? I think they're going to be glad to get rid of me.
I have no comment on that.
Anyhow, next week is going to be like one of my exciting weeks of the year for me.
Bird hunting season.
Oh, yeah. September 1st, grouse season comes in.
Woohoo! Birdie, birdie, birdie.
I'm so excited.
Does your dog, is a bird hunter or what?
Yeah, he goes hunting, but he doesn't retrieve them.
No, but he flushes them out so you can shoot them.
He flushes them out, and I shoot them, and he goes and looks at them and tilts his head side to side.
At least he'll stick around and let you know where it's at, right?
Yeah, that's a good thing.
Yeah, that's
perfect.
If I have
to go get it myself, then no matter how thick the brush
is. He's like, I ain't going back. I got another dead thing in my mouth.
Yeah, it's been his first time bird hunting was last year.
Well, then he's doing a good job. If at least he'll flush them out and stick around where they're at so you can find them. I mean, that's half and half, you know. You just have to make more effort and go trailing through the brush to find it.
I hate to shoot waterfowl around. He'd probably just stare on the bank and just look at
it. Yeah, you'd have to swim out and get it.
None of my luck. I'd probably jump in the water and get him. And he'd end up swimming out there and grabbing him and bring him back to the shore for me.
Yeah, and you'd be sitting out there going, why did I even jump in?
Yeah, that sounds like him. So have you actually gone bird hunting before?
No, I have not. I've never even been hunting, if you want to know the truth.
I thought you was grew up hunting and things like that.
I grew up going, but I never shot anything. I grew up going with my family and stuff.
And they didn't trust you with a gun?
No, I didn't. No, I couldn't do it. I just couldn't kill them.
Oh, that's easy.
Yeah, well, I couldn't. When you're young, it's hard to shoot an animal. I mean,
well, not for me when I was young.
Well, you're crazy.
Crazy in a good way, though.
Yeah, yeah. You like to kill stuff,
and yeah.
But I loved fishing. I fished by myself. I grew up fishing alone a lot. I used to go to the river by myself, first grade, ride my bike and go fishing all the time. You know,
I did that too. One time, I went fishing. Skipped the school, done this.
Uh oh.
Yeah. The funny part was, I caught a state citation fish while I was skipping school.
Oh shoot.
Yeah, I mean, I got a little certificate for it and everything. My dad took the picture of the fish, and he put it in the newspaper.
And you didn't get in trouble for skipping school?
No, but I got harassed by the vice principal up until I graduated.
Yeah, I bet. He's like, you think you got that award, young man.
Well, he was the kind of guy, things like that, he wouldn't give you D-haul or try to spin you or nothing like that.
Yeah.
He would not let you forget it.
Yeah, well, it's his job being a principal, I guess.
Vice principal.
A vice principal. Still, they're just as bad.
He wouldn't do it out in the hallway. He'd come in the classroom. Everybody.
In front of people. Nice.
Like, another time I skipped school. And
oh, see, listen to this, people. He is a school skipper.
Yeah, I used to skip school up to go fishing back home.
Yeah. Well, at least you weren't doing anything illegal.
No, that's what he said.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, anyway, I was walking across the road there to go to the river, and I heard a car horn beep, and I looked up, and it was him pointing his finger at me driving by real quick.
Oh, he's like,
yeah,
he's supposed to be in school.
You're skipping school. And I said, well, I'm going to go fishing anyway. I know he's going to come back and tell me to go to school. So I went down and fishing. I kept looking up the hillside to see if he's going to stand there.
That was a really good fishing day for you.
I've been there all day, though. I finally just gave up looking. But anyway, next day I went to school. He said, hi, how you doing? And I said, I'm doing fine. First period class, he came in and looked at me and smiled in the big and said, Charles, did you catch anything yesterday?
Yeah, stress and anxiety watching to see if you're coming.
He said, I thought about coming back and messing with you, but I had to, in a hurry, to get to the board education office.
Oh.
So back then, you're allowed to miss 12 days a semester.
Oh, yeah, they don't mess around now. They'll actually arrest the parents if you have too many unexcused absences.
Yeah, I wasn't sick very much in school.
Yeah.
And I just wanted days I just wanted to be alone.
Yeah, sometimes that happens.
I just grab my fishing pole and head down to the river, or if it's hunting season, I go up in the woods near my house and stay all day.
Right. Well, I'll tell you this. My school was either you had a bus, because the bus picked us up in Pacific, and we would ride into Auburn, because my school was a whole town over. Once I got out of elementary school.
Mine
I mean,
was a 10-minute walk from my house.
Well, my elementary school was walking distance, but my junior high and high school was in the town next to us, and it was probably a couple miles, a few miles, you know.
Well, all three of mine, junior high, grade school, and all that was all walking distance from me.
Yeah, I never skipped a whole day of school, but I had skipped classes across the street from my school, and I ended up getting, like, Saturday school, I think, all year.
Like every Saturday?
Every Saturday.
Wow, that's major breakfast club there.
Yep, yep.
I stepped in the ceiling and crawled like that one guy did in that movie. Did.
No! I spent my whole eighth grade, I think, Saturdays in school also.
We didn't have Saturdays.
No? No Saturday school?
Oh. Nobody would show up anyway if they did.
I've done summer school before either. We had those as well.
We had summer school, but they were for like people who flunked a class and you wanted to make
exactly.
It up. And if you wanted to make it up?
The class that I skipped that whole year practically was my social studies class because nobody liked Mr. Stowe. He was scary. And I used to play Frida to make me sit in the hallway. He was so mean because my sister and I and then my brother, it was our whole family had been through that same school. And my sister and him didn't get along. He didn't like me. I don't know about my brother, though. I never asked him if he had a problem with Mr. Stowe, but yeah. Eighth grade, I spent a lot of Saturday schools. Huh?
I was like the angel of the school, the crooked halo.
Yeah, well, I was like the class clown, and I got in a lot of trouble for that.
I never got
For getting thrown out of class for being the class clown, you know?
Well, they was kind of afraid of me because my dad worked for a newspaper.
Oh, well, you're lucky. And I didn't have that problem.
All I had to say was, I need to make a phone call, and they would stop right there.
Head story. Front page news.
Well, let's get back to bird hunting.
Okay.
Okay, so you've never been bird
hunting? No, I have not, no.
You ought to try it sometime.
I probably would like it. I could shoot and kill something now. Not human.
I can.
But animal.
Yeah.
Well, it depends. I guess I lied. I could shoot a human if it was in the, you know, right situation.
Yeah, it's home defense kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, my favorite gun for grouse hunting is and woodcock.
Woodcock?
You know what a woodcock is, don't you?
I have no idea.
It's a bird that has a long beak that lives on the ground.
Uh-huh.
And they walk around in these little wet areas, like ground's like really wet.
Yeah.
And they'll poke holes in the ground and get their worms.
Oh, why do they call them a woodcock then? They don't eat wood or what?
They live in a wooded area with kind of like you know, like near a river.
Oh, okay, okay.
A river bottom or something like that.
Right, so like in wetlands and
kind of like a wetland, but on the dry part, but the ground is kind of, you know.
Moist. Okay.
Yeah, they're hard to hit. I mean, they're hard to hunt.
Are they fast?
Yes.
Kind of like a quail, because quails are really fast.
Yeah, but the problem with this bird is you can't scout for them.
Oh, you just kind of chill and wait for them to show up, or what?
No, if you go in the area and you see a whole bunch of them.
Yeah.
4 or 5 hours later, they might not be there anymore. They migrate.
Oh, okay. So they go from spot to spot, then they'll just stay somewhere.
No.
Okay. All right.
Well, I made that mistake one time. I went out there and I jumped like 10 or 12, and I was all excited. I'm going to get my limit tomorrow.
And they were gone.
They were gone.
Oh, wow.
Even my dog, Jake, who I had before Spinner, couldn't even find him.
Huh. Well, dogs should be, you know, they're pretty good about, you know, that's what they have dogs for a lot when hunting, because they can smell them out, you know, and all that.
Yeah, well, Jake was a Great Dane and lab mix. He was kind of a big bird. He probably ate one of them things if he shot it.
He wouldn't bring it back and just eat it, huh?
Yeah, he probably just eat it. Another fun bird to hunt is common snipes.
There's no such thing as a snipe.
Yeah, there is. Hunting season starts for them on September 1st, same day as dove season.
A snipe.
Yes. They live in marsh areas, and they got long legs on. They stand in the water on the banks.
And that's a snipe? It's not a crane or like a something like that?
No, they're really small. They're about the size of a dove, maybe even smaller than that.
And you want to hunt those?
Yeah.
What can you do with them?
You eat them.
What? Are they like a game hen size or something? A little Cornish game hen size?
Looks like a little tiny corn dog time to get done. You buy in the store.
Poor little tiny guys.
Yeah, it takes about 10 or 15 of them to make one plate full.
Yeah, why would you even bother? Poor little things.
Well, they're fun to hunt. I've done it for years.
Oh, well, do you eat them then?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I just don't shoot them and then try and throw them on the riverbank.
Well, I would imagine they would go for something that was more of a meal than a little tiny bird, you know, like that, like dove size. That's like the size of a large robin or something.
Now, dove is a really interesting bird to hunt.
What?
Doves.
Why would you kill a dove?
Well, it's the easiest hunting. You get a lawn chair, get you a cooler with some drinks and some chips.
And make sure you're heartbroken.
You sit back in the lawn chair and have your feet propped up on the cooler and shoot the doves, they fly over.
Oh my gosh.
And have your dog go get them if you have a dog or if you have a girlfriend or a wife or something. They could be a good retriever.
I would never be a retriever for someone. Sorry.
Not even me?
Okay, maybe you. Because you're my friend.
Okay.
Okay. But I'm not doing it. But if I had to, I would.
Yeah, you probably had to if we were going after a dove hunt.
I'm not going to let you kill a dove. Oh, no. You can't eat them. Look, they eat gross stuff.
No, doves.
Almost like a pigeon.
Doves actually eat, like, corn.
Oh, well, I was thinking more along the line of a pigeon.
No, they eat the opposite stuff as a pigeon.
Oh, okay. I would never eat a pigeon.
Neither would I. Well, a wood pigeon I would.
Not these pigeons here.
No. Wood pigeons, they live out in the woods.
But okay, all right.
They live here in the States.
The pigeons we have around here, I wouldn't eat them because they eat garbage. And they're just, yeah, they're not. I don't think they'd be good eating.
No, they're not.
Just like, isn't the magpie like you can get in trouble for killing a magpie or something?
I don't know. You might want to check the regulations on that.
I'm pretty sure that it's illegal to kill them.
It might be, but I don't even hunt them anyway. So.
No, but I'm just saying, I'm pretty sure that in the state of Montana, magpie is one of those birds that you're not supposed to kill. It's an actual criminal offense.
Wow.
I could be wrong, but I don't think I am. I'll have to check that out and come back to about that.
Yeah, we'll talk about that part later. We'll do some research during the week.
All right, sounds good, because I'm pretty sure I'm right, but it might be a different bird, I don't know, but I thought a magpie was one of the birds in the state you're not allowed to kill.
Well, anybody listening to this show and hear about magpies, give us some input on it.
Yeah, would you please, because I think I heard that before. I could be misinformed, I'm not sure.
Yeah, the email's at the end of the show.
Okay, good. Email us and let us know if killing magpies in the state of Montana is a criminal offense, because I don't remember.
I'll tell you, one bird I wish they had here was the Virginia rail.
Never even heard of them.
That's another bird they hunt on the shorelines, like same thing as the snipe.
Oh, okay. Well, see, I thought a snipe was just a joke, because I've seen it in cartoons where, you know, that movie Up, it's a cartoon movie, and he's all, oh, I'll catch the snipe, and it was not even an existing bird. So
I actually had a newspaper column.
About a snipe?
By home I had hunting. And one of them was the snipe hunting. And the first part of the I'm trying to keep from laughing.
Me too, and I don't even know why.
I was talking about snipe hunting, and I said on the article, yes, there is such thing as bird to snipe hunt.
I did not. You know, I'm going to look up that because, I mean, I'm interested. Not because I don't believe you. It's because I'm really interested in the whole situation because I was always told that people use that as a joke to get kids to go look for stuff for them to leave them alone or whatever. Go look for that snipe, you know, or whatever. So I'm not sure. But I would like to find some information on that.
But where I'm relocating to, there's all kinds of snakes.
I want to talk about your relocation.
I forgot about that.
I'm still mad at you.
I'm proud of that, you know?
No, I'm mad at you.
Why?
Because you're leaving. And then I'm going to have to do this show all by myself.
Yeah?
No.
Yeah, you can do the show by
yourself. I know I could, but I don't want to. Now I got to find someone else to come on here with me.
Good luck. How long took me to find somebody?
Long time.
Yeah, almost over 2 years.
I know. I'm so awesome.
I should have asked you from day one.
You should have. I'd have still been here. Yeah. I was in Big Timber, but for a little while, but you should have asked me when I used to live across the hall. We could have had funny shows, a lot of them, you know?
I did try.
No, you were going to write a book or cartoon characters and stuff.
Michael
Friedrich. Yeah, my ex-boyfriend, but yeah, and you never asked me to do any shows with you. You said you wanted to write a cartoon clip about my ex and I.
Comic strip.
Comic strip, yes, yes. Yeah. We're not going to talk about that.
That was funny.
Yeah. Matter of fact, my ex and I were talking about it yesterday.
About my comic strip?
Yeah, about when we lived here and how funny it was and stuff. and about when I slapped him on accidentally on purpose.
The funny part, I was recording a show when that happened. I didn't even hear it happening.
I know, that's because it was quiet. He shut up after that. Anyway, let's get back to the hunting. Okay. That's something we don't. Yeah, that's my past. I want to leave it there.
Okay, well,
like when someone says, you know what, you should guess what your ex is doing. I said, no, I don't want to. That's what I had to do when we were together.
I know what you mean by that.
You know him, and oh my goodness.
Back when I married my first mistake.
Thank God I've never been married, that I had the opportunity to just get out when I wanted to. There was no one. No children or legal things involved. I can just bail. You know, you're my friend, and you know how the rules about friends and blahzy, blahzy, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
anyway, that's not about hunting. Let's move on.
We're moving on now.
Moving on now.
Moving on
the way. Moving on. Okay, let's go.
All right, back to bird hunting.
Yes, man. Yes. Stop it. Bird hunting, that's what we're talking about. Birds.
Yes.
Caca, birds.
Okay, waterfowl hunting.
Don't know what that is.
Ducks, geese.
Oh, that's what you mean. Okay, yeah. Yes.
That's like my favorite type of bird hunting, all besides doves.
Well, duck is not, if you know how to cook it, it's good. But if you don't,
I cook it greasy. Turkey.
You do? I put it on a rack and let it drain while I'm cooking it because they are so greasy.
That's why you put it on a little rack like in the oven for like a turkey.
Yeah.
And let the juice and stuff run out.
Right. I usually, they have those kinds of upward racks.
Yes.
You know, you can put the bird on it. So it's like a cone rack that goes up inside the bird and you can let it drain that way. And that way the meat's not, because duck is very, very greasy.
I like it.
That you like it? I like it. I like to eat it, but I don't like it unless it's cooked in a way to drain. Otherwise, it is nasty.
We had this little rack we put in the pan, like roasted pan,
right?
For turkey,
right?
And we use the same thing for that. And like I said, it was good. I mean, the meat came off the.
Yeah, it's very, very moist, very good succulent meat. It's a good meat. I like duck meat and I like geese, but it needs to be cooked properly, or it is not good.
Yeah. Now, Jake, my little.
Dog.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, a companion, whatever I'm going to call him.
your fur baby?
Yeah, my little fur baby. I actually got him here in Montana.
Did you? Oh.
Yeah, Livingston, Montana when we lived there. We took him back to West Virginia.
Mm.
And you could not pick your gun in front of him, your decoys, or nothing.
Oh, I remember you telling me, or he would whine until it's ready. Until you leave door.
And beg and... Get up in bed, jerk the covers off of you, and lick you in the face if you try to ignore him. And it was
I remember the story about your ex-wife. It's like, just get out of here, because he would not shut up for hours. And it wasn't even time to go yet. But you just left anyway and took him just to get him out. And you probably wanted to leave, because from what you say, yeah, it was like just your way to get out anyway. So it was a win-win.
I went to sleep in a van.
It was a win-win for both of you. For you and the dog.
Well, Jake's always doing his little funny stunts out hunting. Like, the Ducks Unlimited used to have a little booth there on opening day of duck season. And this one particular place they used to go to called Green Bottom, which is on the Ohio River.
Mm-hmm.
And we got talking about Ducks Unlimited, because I was wanting to get involved in it.
Right.
And this guy who was like the president of the Ducks Unlimited looked at my dog and said, "What do you think about Ducks Unlimited?" Jake walked up to the Duck Unlimited sign, hiked his leg up, and looked up at him.
He literally did that?
Yes.
Peed on it?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
That was funny.
That is funny.
Everybody's standing there laughing, and the guy looked at me and said, "Well, we know what he thinks about it."
Yeah. Good Lord, that dog was a comedian.
He was. I mean, he was fun to hunt with. Like, another time, I was actually hunting with the Ducks Unlimited members. And this guy was blowing on the goose call, and Jake got excited and jumped up and hit him in a certain spot with his paw.
Ouch.
And he literally ran towards him and did it.
Oh, there's a certain spot. We don't want to do that to him.
Yeah, and this guy was on his knees on the ground.
Oh, I'd imagine.
And everybody laughing at him.
Oh.
Yeah, we thought it was funny.
Yeah, he didn't.
At first he didn't, but after a while he kind of laughed. And there was a guy out there in the middle of the pond, or the marsh area we was duck hunting at. He was our retriever. We shoot something out far out. He'd go out there and roll out.
He was sitting out there waiting for one to drop?
Yeah. And he laughed so hard, he almost flipped the kayak over.
Yeah, I bet it was pretty funny, though.
Yeah, it was. My favorite gun to use for waterfowl is a 12-gauge. They fly so high up, and you get a size 2 still shot. And that really knocks them out of the air, because you get a 20-gauge or something like that, it's not going to have the effect like a 12-gauge.
Well, if they're so far up in the air, you have to have one that gets enough momentum to get up that high, I would imagine.
Had one like a wood duck flying low, or a teal or something like that,
right,
you can pop them with a 20-gauge. But like geese and things like that, they have them with 12-gauges.
Oh, well, I was imagining 12-gauge would kind of make a mess of them.
No, it doesn't.
Okay. You just don't make sure it's not a buckshot then.
Yeah.
Okay.
They use steel ones.
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay. That, you got to pick them out and stuff, or what?
You have to clean them.
Okay.
Federal law, you have to have steel shots.
Okay.
For waterfowl.
All right.
Which I don't understand, because...
No, it don't make no sense. Well, they don't want you to have lead, because they're poisonous, yeah. I would imagine.
Well, we use them for lead, like snipe hunting, woodcocks, and, you know, things like that, in the same area.
Oh. But then you got to switch two different... Switch, okay.
Shot, yes.
Well, maybe they're going to make sure that you don't blow them apart, so you'll take them home, you know what I mean? They're probably thinking more along the line of humane way to blood shoot.
Poison,
exactly, yeah. Right, right.
I wouldn't want a steel shot inside of me.
I wouldn't want any shot inside of me. Well, this is a long story, but I'm not going to get into it. I've been shot with and got a stray round, 11 of them, in the back of my calf. It hurts really bad. And they burn. They burn for a long, long time. They're hot.
Now, imagine getting some steel shots in you, and you're going to an airport.
Oh. Yeah, no, I only got one more left, and it's right here. You can still feel it. They got all the other out of 11 of them that were in my calf.
Yeah.
Only one more is left, and it's right here. You can feel it. It's coming out. It was too deep because it was next to one of my arteries.
Ooh.
So they didn't remove it, but it's worked its way out in the last 20 years to where it's a big bump right there. You can feel it. But sooner or later, I'm sure I'm going to have to get it taken out.
Just squeeze on it.
Right there?
Yep.
You see, I got some, all those scars right there?
Yep.
That's,
I see that.
Took those ones out, but this is the last one right here.
Yeah, I see that.
And it is a little bit uncomfortable sometimes. It does hurt. Because I don't know if maybe there's a nerve there it pinches on, but I'm lucky. I was running down a hill, so when it was right during hunting season, I got someone was shooting something. I don't know, and I ended up with 11 buckshots in the back of this leg here.
I had someone shot my gun. I was holding in front of me.
Yeah.
And they were shooting at a squirrel.
And you got some of them in ya?
No, it hit the butt of my gun.
Oh, you're lucky. You're so lucky, because it is painful, I'll have to tell you.
It would hit me right in the chest if I didn't have the gun in front of me.
Oh, wow. Well, you're lucky.
Because I had it cradled in front of me.
Right.
And looking around, I heard a gun go off. The next thing you know, I felt BBs hitting the butt of the gun.
Wow. This happened when I lived right on SR4, which is on the Columbia, on the Washington side of the Columbia River there.
Yeah.
In Grays River, Washington is where I lived at the time is when this happened. But I was 23, so that was 25 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, a long time ago.
25 years
ago. And it took 25 years for that thing to come up to the surface right there.
I was in Montana 25 years ago.
I was in, well, I live off and on in Astoria, Oregon, and right there in Rossburg in Grays River there by the Columbia River on the Washington and also on the other side, the Oregon side.
Yeah, so this is not my first trip to Montana.
Oh, yeah, I remember you telling me you used to live here years ago and that you knew people before you even got here.
That's kind of strange, isn't it?
Yeah, it is weird.
Just walk into town and say, hey, how you doing? And you bunch of friends you haven't seen for a few years.
Yeah, yeah, especially in this little tiny town. And you come from, what, Louisiana?
No, I'm farther north than that.
Oh.
West Virginia.
West Virginia to here, and you still know people. That's crazy.
This was weird. My first week here in town, here in Harlow, I was walking down the street towards the post office. You're down here on Main Street.
Mm-hmm. Central. Central Avenue.
What's that?
Central Avenue.
Yeah, Central Avenue.
Okay.
Some guy jumped out of a car from the Crow Agency.
From Sorry. Crow? What's that?
The Crow Agency. You know, the reservation here.
Oh, yeah.
Started screaming Trapper.
Trapper?
Yeah, that's a nickname that Native Americans gave me.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow.
He ran and started hugging on me.
You're like, who the heck?
And he was in one of my fire camps I was in.
Oh.
And he was one of the guys that I used to hang out with. I didn't recognize him at first.
Oh, geez. Is he still in here?
No, he was. He actually was just coming in town just to goof off.
Oh, okay.
And he stopped off at the our favorite hangout spot there on the corner.
Oh.
Not on the corner itself.
Yeah, you just gave away your day job. I'm just kidding.
But that was kind of interesting. We sat there in the bar and talked like 3 hours, maybe 3 or 4 hours about wildland firefighting.
Oh, wow. That was a good reminisce, huh?
Remember this happened? Remember that happened?
Yeah.
He was in that same camp when I got licked in the face by a bear.
Oh, my gosh.
He was laughing about that.
Yeah. A reminisce session. Those are always nice when you see old friends.
I cannot remember her name. Redhead girl used to live here in town. She moved to Washington, Oregon, or somewhere.
Cassandra?
No.
Melissa?
Sandy. Sandy Payne.
Sandra. Sandra Penny, yes.
I know she's probably listening to this, but she was also in that fire camp.
Was she?
I got licked in the face by a bear.
Oh, was she? Oh, wow. Yeah, oh, yeah, she used to do that kind of thing. I forgot until she...
That's how long I've known her. I've known her for that long.
Oh, that's crazy. I haven't known her that long, which was too long. Sorry.
All right.
No offense.
Okay.
No disrespect. You guys are friends and all that.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Yes, sir. But wildland firefighting was probably my most favorite job besides journalism. Yeehaw! It is Forest of News. I'm hoping most of y'all are still awake out yonder.
Well, they better be. Oh, we're doing this news for nothing. Okay. Afternoon fishing restrictions on several southwest Montana waters have been lifted Thursday. Hoot owl restrictions were put in place on August 6th, prohibiting fishing each day from 2 p.m. to midnight on the following waters. The lower Galician River from the Highway 84 bridge near Four Corners to Missouri River. The lower Ruby River from Duncan District Road to the Beaverhead River. The Big Hole River from North Fork of the Big Hole River to Dickey Bridge west of Wise River, and from Main Rock Fishing Access Site to Beaverhead River. The lower Beaverhead River from Anderson Lane to Jefferson River, and the entire Jefferson River. These restrictions have been lifted Thursday, August 27th. Water temperatures in each area have been staying below 70 degrees for the required time frame, and temperatures are expected to continue to cool over the coming days. Hoot owl restrictions are designed to protect fish such as Arctic grayling and trout, which all become more susceptible to disease and mortality when conditions such as high temperatures, low flows, and low water pressure combine with additional stressors. Lying north of Rawgate, the property encompasses short grass prairie, foothill, and mountain habitats, and it's home to elk, mule deer, white-tailed deer, pronghorns, black bears, and other native species. It includes critical winter range as well as year-round habitat. The property is being offered for purchase by FWP and the private property owner. If purchased by FWP, the property would be managed as a wildlife management area by WMA. It is one contiguous block and land that would provide critical public access to more than 95,000 acres of public land, including the Federal Bureau of Land Management, 6,936-acre Twin Coulee Wilderness Area, and the U.S. Forest Service, 88,696-acre Big Snowy Wilderness Study Area. FWP's primary management purposes for the property would include enhanced wildlife habitat and compatible public recreation, including hunting and wildlife watching, while increasing access to outdoor recreation opportunities on this property and adjacent public lands. FWP is partnering with Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation in these proposals. The scoping period, or time to initial public comment, runs through September 19th. After all comments are considered, FWP will decide whether to proceed with an environmental analysis, that's the word I was looking for, which would include further public comments. Comments may be entitled to ataylor@montana.gov or mailed to Montana Fish, Wildlife and Parks, Ashley Taylor, Wildlife Biologist, 2300 Lake Elmo Drive, Billings, Montana, 59105. And that is my news. Now, Charles has some interesting news about Yellowstone for you.
I sure do. It's nothing to do with animals, though, except the bear one. Temporary road closures between Mud Volcano and Fisher Bridge Junction, Old Faithful to West Thumb Junction reopens. Mud River to Fishing Bridge Junction. The road between Mud Volcano and Fisher Bridge Junction is closed due to an overturned semi-tractor trailer. The semi-tractor trailer was carrying hazardous material, gasoline. Currently, park crews in the area is assist a hazmat cleanup. It's unknown on how long the road closure will last. This is an emergent incident, and the park will continue to provide current information when available. The road between Old Faithful and West Thumb Junction opened Thursday morning, August the 27th. This section of roads was closed when wildfire activity increased. Stay informed for up-to-date information. Go to go.nps.gov/yellroad or call 307-444. As part of the ongoing effort required to honor the Endangered Species Act, to monitor the population of grizzly bears in the Greater Yellowstone ecosystem, the U.S. Geological Survey, in conjunction with the National Park Service, is working to inform the public of pre-baiting and scientific capture operations will be extended within Yellowstone Park. Biologists with the Tennessee for Grizzly Bear Study Team, the IGBST, which should be known as Yogi Bear Committee, hey, boo-boo, will continue field track capture from August 28th through October 23rd. The capture operation can be verified activities in all locations where working is being conducted and will have primary access points marked with warning signs. And it's critical that members of the public heed to these signs. I can see somebody sneaking in there and stepping in one of the traps.
Yeah, ouch. That would probably be the last time I ever did. Yeah, that's probably the last time I ever did that.
Because you know, people in town, they don't listen to the rules anyway in the park.
No, obviously.
If you're with an outdoor organization, like to share some news, or want to brag about a hunting and fishing trip you was on, or just want to ramble on something about hunting and fishing, please email me at hawsoutdoors@treasurestateradio.com. That's all the time we have, folks. Thank you for listening in. This is Goofy Charles Hawes and Treasure State Radio saying so long and be safe out there.
Okay, forest animals, kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.